All right, let's do hour number three. It's a three-hour program. My name is Jim Rome. We are coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. All right, so as I start hour number three, I'm not sure why I have to do this. Actually, I know exactly why I have to do this. Some of you still don't seem to get it. So at the end of last hour, I apologized for doing so, but I ran somebody. I cut them off, brought the hammer down. And the reason I did that was not because they said something offensive, but they broke or violated one of the only rules on the program. You do not self-gloss. In other words, if you're new to it, don't give yourself a nickname. You earn nicknames on the show. The show will give you a nickname. And no, I don't care if this is what your boys call you, or if this is what you've been known as, or if this is what they've called you in the neighborhood. Not our neighborhood. Not our show. If you're going to have gloss, you have to get it from the hood, this hood. So don't self-gloss. Don't bring your gloss up in here. It's not a lot to ask. As an example, this guy did it. Maybe inadvertently, maybe not, but this is what happened last hour. And the reason I'm resetting this is not so as to tell you not to do it. Well, it's so as to tell you not to do it, but there's somebody taking up for this guy and saying that I missed an opportunity. So in case you missed it, this is what we're talking about. Rich in Buffalo. What's going on, Rich? How are you?
Jim Rome, Richie Bones in Buffalo, New York. Thank you so much, man. I am a longtime listener, over 15 years.
All right, so I said at the time, I hated to have to do that. This dude's energy was good. He was happy. He told me he was a 15-year listener. I mean, do I really want to respect somebody who's listened to me for 15 years? It's hard to keep listeners. It's hard to get new listeners. The last thing I want to do is insult somebody who's been a loyal listener, but a rule is a rule. I said, Rich in Buffalo, what's going on? He said, Jim, it's Richie Bones in Buffalo. Gone. So I felt terrible about it, but I had to do it. So this guy sends me this. Romy, I've been listening since 2008. I know Richie Bones. He was not self-glossing. That is his last name. You missed out on some great mafia energy. Give him some flipping credit.
For real.
Signed, Joe Rowe in B-Lo. All right. Now we're wasting even more time on this. Joe Rowe. The guy could have been run for two things. All right. One, self-gloss. And two, reintroducing himself. Also redundant and a waste of time. If I ever say, let's go to Frank in Sacramento. And if Frank in Sacramento responds with, hey, Jim, it's Frank in Sacramento. They get run. And then I say, I know Frank in Sacramento. I just said, let's go to Frank in Sacramento. So in a way, I could have run Richie Bones for self-glossing and for reintroducing himself. However, you just said, Rome, point of clarification. He didn't self-gloss. That's actually his last name. Can I tell you something? That might be yet another reason to run. I don't need your last name. I don't care about your last name. Since when do I care about who and what you are and your last name? No, I take that back. I do care about who and what you are. I don't care what your last name is. What, now you're going to be giving me your government? Can you imagine how dragged down by that process we'd be? Everybody would be like, hey, let's go to Tom in Greenville. Actually, it's Tom Jones in Greenville. Oh, my bad. Don't forget your middle initial.
Tom, excuse me.
Excuse me, my bad. Tom P. Jones. Do you think that I know Left's last name? Do you think I know Rick and Buffalo's last name? Do you think I know the BIC's last name? No. Nor do I need to. Nor do I want to. And by the way, you, dude, Joe Rowe in B-Lo. Joe Rowe in B-Lo. I can run you off an email for self-glossing, Joe Rowe, and I think I will.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Hey, Joe Rowe in B-Lo, you just got run by Jim Rowe. In Costa May, Oh, whatever. I mean, come on, man. Hey, Rome, you sure jacked that up. You missed an opportunity for some great mafia energy. I've been coming out of my shoes all day with mafia energy. I opened the show with mafia energy. What do you mean I missed a chance for mafia energy because that was his last name? And since when is giving me your last name a thing? And come on, man. Bones is his last name? Fact? Really? Bones. Is it? The last time there was a guy named Bones, believe it or not, I actually got into it. I didn't get into it. He got into it with me. I used to call Barry Bonds Barry Bones. And believe me, you'd think he'd be happy about that, given what we started to call him afterwards. But I once had an encounter with Barry Bones, and he didn't like that. And he made it clear, he said it to me, like, hey, man, you need to stop doing that. And I said, why? He's like, it's not my name. I'm like, yeah, but it refers to how much money you make, and you make a lot of money, and how can that be a bad thing? It's not my name, Rome. And I wanted to say, well, neither is Baroid. Actually, he wasn't Baroid at that point, but he didn't like being Barry Bones. But that, to his point, it was not his name. Fair enough. Just like I'm going to say that Richie Bones is probably not his name, but even if it is, it's immaterial. Because it sounded like self-gloss, and even if it wasn't self-gloss, I could also say you get run for giving me your last name. We don't need to know your last name. Do you know why? If you're telling me your last name, what you're really saying is, do you know who the hell I am? You want everybody to know that you're that guy. So what's happening here, Joe Rowe, I can't believe I'm still on this. What's happening here, Joe Rowe, is you took a situation where I felt really badly about how I did a guy, and now I don't feel badly at all because you jumped in like Mike Evans. Yeah, you're like, hey, man, it's Richie Bones. The hell was I supposed to do? Like you're Mike Evans defending TB45 or something. It's Tom Brady. What am I supposed to do? It's Richie Bones. It's Rich Bo. What am I supposed to do? I'm Joe Rowe, and he's Rich Bo. And we're both from B-Low. Hell no. Man, don't ruin it, guys. All I've done is hype you and your team and your town for years and this whole show. Don't do that, Joe Rowe. Don't do that to Rich Bo. And don't do that for B-Low.
Don't do that.
Oh, hell no. Wow. 1-800-636-8686. This guy goes, hey, Rome, I only missed like 10 minutes of today's show. Hopefully I didn't miss Rick in Buffalo, if he called. Or did he die? Mike in Snowbird. This is the big question. No, he did not call. There's this rumor or speculation or report that Rick in Buffalo, this is just what I'm told, I can neither confirm nor deny, and I'm not trying to hide anything. I really don't know. Apparently, Rick in Buffalo, Buffalo's most famous caller, and certainly the Jungle's most angry caller, and one of the best callers ever to the show. He always makes it better, and nobody honks the Buffalo Bills like this guy. He hasn't called. Not today, not since the season started, and no time recently. I'm led to believe he got, wait for it, a promotion. A promotion which is getting in the way of his Jungle participation. I don't know for certain, but I think that's what's going on. How else can you, unless something happened in his family, and by the way, we've heard how he feels about his family. He sounds like he wants to fight his family. He's on record. He's trying to fight his old man. I tend to believe he must have got a promotion. Or believe me, this guy would be up in here talking so much junk. Nunzio is back. Nunzio writes, 2 weeks into the season, and Philly fan is already sitting on a pile of horse dung. Jim, do you think that when Jalen Hurts needs to drop a deuce, he calls a Philly fan to see if they're hungry? Damn, Nunzio. Damn, Nunzio.
It doesn't make any sense.
Where's Nunzio from? Nunzio's from New York City, I think. Do you think that when Jalen Hurts needs to drop a deuce, he calls a Philly fan to see if they're hungry? Nunzio, I don't think so, man. I love Jalen Hurts. I am so impressed with this guy. The work he's done on his mind, his body, his game, his arm, the way he's showing up right now, all the haters, people like you, Nunzio, all the doubters, all the critics, all the question marks about this guy, even from his own organization, and the way this dude is showing up like a boss. I love him. I want to go back to Buffalo really quickly. I love the question. I didn't pose this. I didn't go all talk radio on you. There's two ways to go all sports talk radio on you now. You can say a bunch of bull crap that you don't believe and turn it into a hot take factory. You can play that bull crap Mount Rushmore game. Or you can just ask questions to get them to respond. You know, but this is actually, it's all factories, man. It's all hot take factories.
It's all factories.
Right, Joe? This was actually a good question. Bills fans, when you see this team right now, you obviously have a feeling about them, and they're electric, man. They're so good. Do you have a better feeling about this team than the Bills, the great, great Bills teams, the K-Gun Bills of the early 90s? Do you think this group's better? And I'm not doing this to be provocative. I mean it, sincerely. I respect the Bills Mafia so much. For those of you old enough to have experienced both, how do you feel about this group compared to that group? Because we saw part of that group last night. You saw Jim Kelly. You saw Bruce Smith. You saw Marv Levy. And they're fired up. I'm curious. Dave in Buffalo writes, early 90s Bills did not have the coaching this team has. Marv and the boys were more emotional support for Jim and his K-Gun line calls. Talent highs were maybe higher with those Hall of Famers, but Coach McD and Frazier, and now Dorsey, have a better plan, more consistency, and a deeper roster. Dave in Buffalo. Time will tell. Time will tell. And time will tell. Let's not forget about 13 seconds, right? And I like Leslie Frazier a lot. I love Coach McD and his culture and discipline and the vibe a lot. I think Ken Dorsey is a really bright, young, rising talent, calling a hell of a game already. I think it's a little too soon to say that. I wouldn't take anything away from Marv. I think those teams were well coached. I don't think that he was just going with that Harvard emotion, you know, intellect, holistic approach. I think that those teams were well coached. We'll see. I think this team is well coached. But I like it. I like the conversation. I like the energy from, quote, B-Low. Except from Joe Rowe. Bills fans, what do you think? How does this group compare to those great teams? And some of you are not happy about it. Carlos writes, Buffalo fan is being really careful on being loud. They know who they are. Choke specialists. You know what to me is the most impressive thing about Buffalo is? They're making it seem like the 13 seconds didn't even happen. Honestly, I've said this before and I'll say it again right now. That's the kind of thing that some teams have a hangover from or maybe never come back from. Look at the Atlanta Falcons in 28-3. They're playing and acting and carrying themselves like that never even happened. The 13 seconds. Salvador Yoga, Rome, I am so fired up for that fat matchup this week between Miami and Buffalo. In honor of the game, I'll be eating chicken wings and Cuban sandwiches at the ESPN studios. Sincerely, Keflon Johnsonville sausages. Salvador, dude, I can't even decode what the hell you're trying to say. I mean, I'll try. Rome, I'm so fired up for that fat matchup between Miami and Buffalo. In honor of the game, I'll be eating chicken wings and Cuban sandwiches at the ESPN studios. Sincerely, Keflon Johnsonville Sausages. Is that a Keyshawn Johnson crackback? Is that what you mean by Keflon Johnsonville? Don't do that. I told you that famous story about how Keyshawn once knocked on my door in my neighborhood, and he wanted to fight too. He was really upset with me. He banged on my door one day in my neighborhood because he bought his mother a house in the same neighborhood. This was in the 818. He's like, yo, man. I'm like, Key, the hell are you doing at my front door? He's like, we got a problem, bro. I'm like, great, get in line. What? Now what? It must be if you're banging on my front door. He's like, I heard what you said about me. All right, Key, come on in. What did I say about me? Or what did I say about you? You said that I did this. I said, no, Key, I did not say that. He said, no, you said that. I said, Key, you're in my house. I would own it if I said it. I did not say it. He's like, brah, you and me, we have a problem, and you said it. I said, all right, Key, let me just ask you one thing. Did you say it, or did you hear me say it? Just shoot me straight, dude. Did you hear me? Were you listening on your radio when I said it? He said, no, but my boys heard it. I'm like, of course. If I had a dollar for every time somebody's boys ran back to them what I said, believe me, I would have retired a long time ago. I said, Key, I didn't say that. I mean, I've said lots of things about lots of people, you included, but dude, you and I have always been good. I did not say that. Yeah, well, my boy said Jim said that. I'm like, okay, why don't we talk about the guys named Jim who have shows in this town? Oh, that guy over there. Yeah, it wasn't me. Oh, okay, my bad, brah. Let me take a look around your house. And he did, because Key always had, Key liked that stuff. Key liked real estate. But that's a true story. So no, you know what's going to happen? Somebody, Salvador, is going to run it back to Keflon Johnsonville Sausages that I said that about him. And I didn't. I didn't. I read it. Key, before your dudes run this back to you, not me. Not me. If you want to go get a piece of somebody, go knock on Salvador Yoga's door. I will own anything and everything that has come out of my mouth that I said. But I just read a tweet from at Salvador Yoga. Salvador, I don't need to be fighting your fights for you. I can fight my own. I got enough to worry about. No, but that's a true story, though. Key did knock on my front door. That was a gated community, but he was inside the gated community because he bought his mother a home inside the same gated community. She lived right up the street. He's like, I got a problem with you, bro. I'm like, yeah, get in line. Hey, Jim, always ask for their middle name. Signed, Tanya Harding's 911 dispatcher.
This is Clark County 911. How can I help you?
I need you to come over to my house right now. I punched him in the face because he came after me, put me to the ground.
Okay. What's his middle name?
Yeah, you're pointing to your friend that you pushed me to the ground.
You're a liar. You're a liar. You are a felon.
You know, of course, in no way would I ever, ever, ever make any light of domestic violence going either way. But that exchange is absolutely priceless.
What's his middle name?
Not even that part. Tanya Harding straight up owning. Yeah, I punched him in the face. I punched him in the face because he tried to put me in the ground.
Put me in the ground.
So that stands to reason. She probably did bust him in the head. However, he said, no, no, you're a liar.
You're a liar.
And a felon.
You are a felon.
Yeah, but bro, you were hanging out with that liar and felon. You obviously knew what she was before you started to hang out and shack up or do whatever it is you were doing. This guy's yelling off to the side, no, you're a liar and
a
felon.
You are a felon.
Incredible. At Dentech Jason is not buying that Rick in Buffalo got a promotion. Quote, Rick in Buffalo, a promotion. Psst, please.
Please.
His mom stopped paying his cell phone bill. That's not funny. That's not that dude. I'm not saying that we don't have listeners that don't have parents paying their bills. That's a given. But not that guy. And Jay Grande wants in, quote, hot cake factory. Sign me up, Charlie and Lawrence.
It's all factories.
No, hot take factory. Not hot cake factory.
It's all factories.
Now you're twisting all my words. When we return, two big things I've not gotten to that I meant to get to and I want to get to. How weird the Tampa Bay Bucks situation is. They're winning, but it's still weird. And also the Steelers situation at quarterback. The NFL action is in full swing at DraftKings Sportsbook. It is an official sports betting partner of the NFL, and new customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win and get $200 in free bets if they do. Plus, everybody can boost their winnings with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. Right now, for every leg you add, you can boost your winnings up to 100%. With payouts bigger than ever, why would you bet on football anyplace else? Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use the code ROME to get $200 in free bets. If your team wins, when you place a $5 bet on any football game, that is code ROME, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You do have to be present in the state where lawful to wager. 21 or older in most eligible states, but age does vary by jurisdiction. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Bonus issued as free bets, one boost per eligible game, 10 plus leg required for 100% boost, opt-in required, deposit, parlay, and wagering restrictions to apply. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Byron Murphy Jr. coming up next segment. Dell Technologies semi-annual sale has arrived. It's time to upgrade to the latest business technology. Save big on laptops and desktops with Windows 11 Plus and get amazing deals on server, storage, and cloud solutions, as well as top work accessories, including docks, monitors, and more. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. Call Dell Technologies Advisor at 877-AS-DELL, 877-AS-DELL for special business offers during our semi-annual sale. All right, so something weird seems to be going on in Tampa, right? And no, I'm not talking about Tom Brady's face or the fact that dude's transformation is complete now. He is now a vampire. I will get to that. You've probably seen that picture. It just seems to me the vibes. Hey, wait, that's Chalk's song, not his. You've probably seen the picture. It went viral. But the vibes just seem off for one of the NFC's better teams, right? Like, off. In Sunday's win over the Saints, and good for them to beat the Saints, who normally own them, their offense, though, was not acting or playing or looking like potential Super Bowl champions. Like, Brady can still make a lot of plays. Brady is still Brady. Maybe not quite what he was, but still really dangerous. And still dropping dimes like that touchdown pass to Rashad Perriman, while yelling obscenities and throwing that tablet in pure disgust. You want a dime. How about when he launched that tablet? Now, that was a dime. But what's going on here? Like, why is TB Vampire this pissed? Why is he so angry? I don't know. I mean, I could guess it could be any number of things. Could it be that there was a certain unwelcome guest on the sideline? I don't know. But former Bucks head coach turned special advisor to the GM, Bruce Arians, was chilling on the sideline. And actually, he was doing a hell of a lot more than just chilling. During that quarrel that got Mike Evans kicked out of the game and suspended for another, Arians was directly in the mix, jawing at Saints cornerback Marshon Lattimore, who was later ejected along with Evans for fighting. So how can a guy who quit in the offseason just show up in week two like nothing happened? I mean, it's kind of weird, right? I like B.A. I've always liked B.A. But is that not the football equivalent of Larry David quitting Saturday Night Live only to show up the very next day like nothing happened? Or is it some sort of flex over new head coach Todd Bowles and Brady, who might have made sure that Arians did not return as Tampa's head coach? You know, like he's in succession or something? Like, how could anybody think that this was going to be a good idea? Like, there obviously is something weird and some weird dynamic going on with all these guys. So now you've got BA on the sideline. I just want to say, I don't know exactly what's going on because I'm not on the inside. I really don't know. But I know what a lot of you are thinking. That Brady already retired this offseason because he wanted to get away from BA. And that he probably agreed to unretire because he thought that BA's new job title was a retirement send-off. Right? Instead now, BA is back on the sideline, making his presence felt. A little weird for the former head coach, who's no longer on the coaching staff, to be on the sideline stirring it up with the quarterback who may or may not have left because that in part may have had something to do with it. Or then you've got the current head coach who's got the former head coach who's on the sideline, and all of a sudden dudes are now giving each other hands. So Brady was pissed. We know this. Why was he pissed? Who or what was he pissed about? Was it his young receivers not meeting his standard? Was it his offensive line for not protecting him? Was it Gronk for not coming out of retirement again? Was it because Giselle is pissed at everything he's done? Or did he reserve this for Arians for instigating the brawl that got his number one receiver DQ'd when he's already minus weapons? I don't know. I really don't know. We may never find out. I'm just saying it's pretty weird, right? And by the way, GOAT or no GOAT, dude's not above reproach. Like, great as he is, while there may be special rules for him, like there are for GOATs, you know, like back in the day, the Jordan rules. If you followed that back in the day, Michael Jordan had his own set of rules because he was Michael Jordan. The Jordan rules. So maybe there are Brady rules too, but that doesn't mean the guy can do whatever the hell he wants, whenever the hell he wants, right? Well, apparently it does, and it does relate to what he can do to his face whenever he wants. Whenever he wants, whatever the hell he wants, because he turned it into a vampire. But that aside, because personal appearances cannot be show fodder, what about this I get every Wednesday off going forward stuff? I'm not saying this guy needs practice every single day. I'm not saying that older players don't get days off of practice. I'm not saying that load management is not a thing. I'm not saying that guys don't get put on pitch counts. That's fine. But what if it's PTO? What if it's personal time off? Kind of weird. You know, whatever that is, I don't know. Dude is 45, and in some ways seems like he's reversed the aging process. But at the same time, the life seems to be getting sucked out of him, or at least out of his face, if you've seen that picture that has gone viral. Like, some players like to take it overseas to get their PRP injections. Maybe he's like getting the injections of younger people's blood, and this is a side effect. Or maybe he's getting the injections of younger people's blood, spinning it, and having it injected directly into his face. I mean, we already know this guy's willing to do whatever it takes to win. I mean, how many sacrifices has he already made? Maybe it's just the next step in his evolution as the next Benjamin Button. I don't know. Either way, they're lucky to be 2-0, and it's thanks to their defense. As long as they play defense like that, they're going to be in every single game. As long as they play defense like that, they're a legitimate threat to go all the way. As long as BA does not get any more of their remaining weapons suspended, gets in the middle of any fracases, and Brady stops loading his face up with whatever he's allegedly loading it up with, they'll be in the mix. I guess what I'm saying is, I don't know what the hell is going on. It just seems a little weird. And I didn't know that the TB12 method was designed to turn users and consumers into vampires. I mean, seriously, look at that pic. It's weird. It's weird. It's viral. I didn't find it. It's just, you can't miss it. It's just strange. I don't know what's going on there. It's just weird. All I know is it's a good thing they have the defense they have. All right, when we come back, Arizona Their season did not start the way they had hoped. They fell behind big to Vegas. It did not look good. And then they made a furious comeback for the ages. Byron Murphy Jr., right in the middle of that. He joins us. Inside every growing business, Alvin, there is an innovator. Dell Technologies has the tools to empower yours, like smart PCs powered by the Intel vPro platform, which is built for business. Find tech that is right for you by calling a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL, 877-ASK-DELL. How about a sports update? Here it is. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Wrapping it up. Another big day. Good show. Good show, and it's about to end well. Last segment, we are joined right now by a cornerback for the Arizona Cardinals. He was the 33rd pick overall out of Washington in 2019. Four INTs, a touchdown, and 12 pass deflections in 2021. Of course, he made the huge play in that come-from-behind win for Arizona over the Raiders on Sunday. Returned a fumble for that TD, walked it off. The Cardinals are now 1-1. They host the Rams on Sunday. Byron Murphy Jr. is my guest. Byron, great to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing good, Jim. Happy to be back.
Oh, dude, it's great to have you back. So let me ask you, given how hard it is to win in the NFL, I'm guessing every single victory Monday feels great, but when you consider the way you guys came back, Byron, Sunday against the Raiders, how sweet was victory Monday yesterday?
Man, that was a really good victory Monday. It felt pretty good, you know. Obviously, going back to the play, very special moment for me. You know, just a hard battling fight for us as a team. Feel like we fought through the whole game, stuck together as a team, and got the dub. So, you know, that's the best feeling in the world to get that W.
There you go. I know that you're about the team, but it was a really special moment for you. If you don't mind, can you take us through it one more time? You pick up that loose ball, you house, and you walk it off for the win in OT. If you could run it back, man, what did you see on that play? And then what did you think when you saw the ball come loose?
You know, once the play was called, I just knew, you know, it was one of the moments, you know, you had to get to the ball and make a play. Wherever the ball was, I came across the field. Shout out to Zay. He made the huge tackle, made him fumble the ball. Seeing the ball, picked it up, everything kind of was blurry, and know I had to get to the end zone. So, you know, just going through that whole play, you know, just had to make that play and get to the end zone to end the game.
Byron Murphy Jr. is joining us. You mentioned Isaiah Simmons. Listen, I've got no idea what was going on with him during the week or why he had reduced snaps on Sunday. I don't know. I have no idea. But I know this. He came up huge when the team needed it, jarring the bar loose from Hunter Renfrow. What are your thoughts about Simmons and the play he made to set you up to do what you do?
Zay's a playmaker, you know. Every single day out here, he's working every single day at practice. You know, he's going for the ball. So that's just Zay, you know. Attacking that ball is the biggest thing, you know, and just a hard worker. You know, Zay just, you know, out there, whenever he's out there, doesn't matter when, he's just going to go out there and do it, give it his all. So for Zay to go out there and make that play, you know, obviously come with that type of attitude, just to show what type of player he is as well. And just, you know, as a teammate, I just love being around him.
Byron Murphy Jr. is joining us. So there was that brief review after the score to ensure that you held the ball after you crossed the goal line. Dude, how concerned were you waiting to find out whether or not that play was going to stand?
Oh, I knew it was a touchdown. It was a little. You know, I should have held that ball all the way back to Arizona, but I knew it was a touchdown, so I had to just end the game like that and then celebrate with my teammates.
Dude, you playing with me, or did you know? Did you know for a fact you were good? It was all good.
I knew for a fact it was good. It looked a little, you know, I crossed the line. It looked a little fishy on the camera view, but I knew I crossed the line.
Byron Murphy Jr. is joining us. All right, so luckily that's what happened. Now, you guys and you specifically did an incredible job on Davante Adams, limiting him to just two catches, 12 yards, and that one score. So what was the plan coming in for Adams, and what did you do to make it so tough on him?
You know, the biggest thing was just sticking to the game plan and playing my role. You know, whatever coverage I was in, make sure, you know, I finished to my leverage. I just had to finish the whole play. Obviously, playing a good receiver like that, I just had very, you know, high confidence going into that game. Great receiver, obviously one of the best in the league. So, you know, that mindset I had throughout the whole week was just, you know, go out there and do what I got to do for my teammates. But like I said, great receiver, gave me some great work. But, you know, obviously, you know, I had to show everybody that, you know, I think I'm one of the best in this NFL too.
You had a huge, huge game there. You know, week one did not go the way you guys had hoped as a team, and then you fall behind in this one 20-0. What were guys saying to each other, Byron, at that point? Was there any finger pointing going on at all? What was the vibe like when you fell behind?
Oh, it was definitely no finger pointing. It was everybody just took it under the chin. You know, we got out week one. We went out there. You know, we lost. We didn't want. Obviously, nobody wants to lose like that. But you know, you got to take it under the chin. Go back to the media room and fix all the details. And throughout the whole week, the biggest thing was just, you know, fixing those little details that we knew that we had to make. So just to keep everybody's, you know, heads right, make sure nobody's head was down was the biggest thing. Just keep staying together and keep working throughout this whole week. And I feel like as a team, it just showed, you know, how hard we fought back from that game and then come out with the W.
Yeah, I was going to say, not to be redundant, but I was going to ask you about that. Like, what's it say about that group that nobody turned on each other and there was no infighting, even down 20-0? What's it say about that group that they fought and found a way to get it done on the road in a hostile environment?
You know, that just shows that everybody got heart. Everybody has a desire to win. You know, that's just the mindset we have to have, obviously, every single Sunday. You know, it's going to be, you know, games where things go good, things go bad. When they go bad, you can't point. When they go good, you can't point. You just got to stick together and just, you know, go play by play. And obviously, like I said, sticking throughout the whole game with your teammates is the biggest thing you can do.
Byron Murphy Jr., one of the heroes on Sunday in that great come from behind win. Of course, you're probably not in position to make that play and be a hero if Kyler Murray doesn't start doing Kyler Murray things in the second half. I would imagine at this point, this guy does not do anything that surprises you. But what do you make of the way this guy just kept making huge play after huge play? And then how much does everybody else feed off that energy and that swag?
Man, you just know Kyler's the type of guy. Man, like I said, every single week, he's the type of guy. You know, he can make plays on his feet. He can throw. He can do all the above. That's just Kyler. You know, he's an elite athlete. Just, you know, that dog mentality in him as well kind of feeds off, you know, the offense and the defense as well. He's a leader on our team, our quarterback. So when, you know, when somebody like that has that juice and has that energy, that's just going to help everybody else do the same thing. So I feel like him coming out there, doing what he had to do and turning up with us, you know, just helped everybody else out to feed off of.
Byron Murphy Jr. joining me for a few more moments. Hey, let me ask you about J.J. Watt. Like, he's on a so-called pitch count, right? But when he's out there, you have to account for this guy every single time, and he's still going to make an impact. Even if he's not out there every single down right now as he's coming back from injury, given who he is and what he's accomplished in that game, how strong of a presence is he both inside the locker room and on the field when he's there?
Man, that's a big leadership role that, you know, J.J. carries around his plate as well. J.J. is the type of guy, even though, like you said, even if he's not on the field, he's going to make sure all the guys are locked in. Obviously, when he's out there, it's a huge difference. It helps us out a lot. But, you know, it's always the next guy got to step up. So that's the type of thing. And as being a captain for J.J., that's just somebody else we just feed off all the time as well. You know, he's going to bring that juice every single day. He's going to come to the huddle, talk it up with everyone. So just to have him out there is a big blessing. So I'm just glad to have him back.
We're talking to Byron Murphy Jr. for a moment. So next up, you got the defending world champs, no rest for the weary, right? From Devontae Adams to Cooper Kupp. Kupp is obviously an elite receiver who puts a lot of pressure on opposing defenses. What do you respect most about his game? And then how do you go about taking away what he does best?
I respect him a lot. You know, obviously he's one of the best in the NFL as well. Good receiver. He has all the above, you know, route running. He got speed, all those type of things. So just to come into this game, you know, same thing. Stick with the game plan. Do what we got to do. Obviously try to take him out of the game early. And that's, you know, that's a rivalry game. So that Jew's got to be there from the whole team.
Hey, Byron, what's that like, man, being on the corner like that, being on the island? Like, we're in an era right now where there's never been more dominant wide receivers. I mean, guys who run routes, guys who are physical, guys who can do everything. What's it like now in this day and age being on an island in the NFL?
You know, it just shows what type of player you are. So, you know, me personally playing nickel and playing outside, you know, that's the best thing for me. I'm getting work from slots. I'm getting work from the outside receivers as well. But mostly important, I just wanted to show everybody I could be on that island. And like I said, I'm one of the best in this league. So I just had to show and prove everybody what I'm, you know, what type of player I am as well.
And then how important is it to you to show that kind of versatility, that you can do whatever they need you to do, whatever they ask you to do, that if you need to move, you can?
Definitely. You know, it's a team game. You got to, you know, it's all 11 on the field. We got to do our job. So if they put me inside or outside, you know, I'm willing to do both. And obviously, like I said, stick to the game plan and play my role in the defense.
Byron, one last thing. I want to ask you, I mentioned a hostile environment. There was a really weird moment at the end of the game. And I mention this because there was a police investigation. When Kyler went into the stands to celebrate, a fan appeared to smack him with an open hand. Have you seen the video and what do you think? And I ask because police were said to be investigating that.
Yeah, I seen the video. I'm glad I wasn't right there because I don't know what I would have did. You know, that's my quarterback. I'm going to protect anybody on my team. But looking at the video, it kind of was weird. I don't know why he would do something like that. you obviously don't know the reasoning behind it. I don't know if he was trying to hit his shoulder pads or what he was trying to do, but it was obviously hit him right in the face. So, you know, to that guy, that wasn't a good look for him as well. But, you know, that's the type of thing we can't really, you know, take control of. But we're definitely looking at that video still to this day.
Yeah, no, I appreciate what you said about that. That is your quarterback, and I have no idea why somebody would do that other than they went brain dead. I mean, that goes exactly. Without saying. Luckily, there is tape, and they're trying to find that guy right now. Byron Murphy Jr., my guest, had that huge, huge play. Arizona with an amazing comeback. And next up, they've got the Rams. Byron, really good to have you back on the show. Always good to talk to you. Thanks so much for doing that. I appreciate you.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Byron Murphy Jr., what a job he did on Devontae, too. He had a little bit of help, but he was the guy designated with slowing him down. You've probably seen that video, like just wild. Like end of the game, Kyler's feeling it, high-fiving some fans, sees some Cardinal fans there, and some guy reaches in, smacks him in the face. And then kind of shrank back like, I didn't do that. That wasn't me. But police were said to be investigating it. And Byron said, I'm glad I wasn't there. That's my quarterback. I'm not going to let that happen. All right, so my thanks to the Cards. That was an amazing, amazing come-from-behind victory. Raider fan yesterday was calling up and saying things like, hey, Rome, I've been a fan 40 years. Never again. Never again. I'm like, come on. You'll be back next week. No, this is different. Never again. Never again. Huge call today is brought to you by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger is offering supplies and solutions for every industry, 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and an experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call or click Grainger.com or stop on by. Cards are a great jungle team. Byron Murphy Jr. coming back in. Really good player who had a really, really good game. My thanks to him. Sam Burns was in. We talked some golf. The Mafia was in. Eagle fan was in. Steeler fan didn't get to you today. I can do that tomorrow. That will hold. I want to thank you all for listening. Hey, let me give you a telephone number. 949-385-0447. Different number. That is for our podcast. Voicemails. Get your reps in. 949-385-0447. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. See you tomorrow. We're out.